Much Genesis chapter 49 this morning, Genesis chapter 49. Doing something a little unusual this morning. I'm preaching a part two of a message that I've started whenever the last time I preached was here. Glory, it's been a whirlwind. So if you want to get the first half of this message, you can go back. Don't call me, call the office, they'll figure it out when it was. All these kind of things. I think it was a week ago last Wednesday night. Genesis chapter 49, we've already preached on part of this, and I'm picking up right where I left off. I do encourage you to go get the first half of this message. Genesis chapter 49, verse number 33. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. I give you part two to the message that I've entitled Jacob's Final Chapter. Jacob's final chapter. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. I do pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Thank you for the good sense of your presence today. Thank you for your goodness, mercy, and grace in our lives. Thank you that someday we're going to see you face to face, we who are saved. And I pray if somebody's here who's come to this church but has never accepted Christ, may today be the glorious day where you reveal yourself to them. Draw them to yourself. May they say yes with a sincere heart. May the will of God be done in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. As we approach the end of this book that we're studying together, the book of Genesis, we also see Jacob's life coming to an end. In this chapter before us, we see this dear man of God on his deathbed. Jacob's life was one that had its ups and had its downs. As he came into the world, if you remember, he was holding on to his brother's heel. Early in his life, we saw him live up to his name of Jacob by how he deceived his father and mistreated his own brother. We saw him flee for his life and end up at Laban's, where he spent many years working for his wives and for some animals. We saw him wrestle with the angel of the Lord all night long and walk with a limp as a result of that night. We saw him blessed with children and reunited with Esau. We saw him show favoritism to Joseph and make him a coat of many colors, which made the other brothers extremely angry and jealous. We saw him send Joseph to his brothers, who in turn sold Joseph into slavery and made Jacob believe that he had been killed with a wild beast. No doubt this man's life was one of ups and one of downs. Now we've come to the final chapter, is what I call it, in Jacob's life. And may I say this to you, that our lives are like a book that is written. The book of Psalm tells us that our life is like a tale that's told. And a tale that's told, or a book that's written, has a beginning and has an ending. And may I say that even though there were several chapters in Jacob's book, we have come now to the final chapter. It is time we understand that our lives will not last forever. We too will have a final chapter. As a matter of fact, we don't like to think about it, but we could be in that final chapter now. And as we watch this tender scene unfold, we see Jacob gathers all of his children around him. It's such a precious scene to even think about. He gathers all of his children around him. And looking at this chapter, which at the end he's going to end up going home, there are three things that we see Jacob, that summarizes Jacob during this last final chapter of his life. Now, I only got started with point one because he's dealing with all of his children. And the first thing we're looking at, I'm just going to go back and tap this on the head and pick up right where I left off. Number one, we see in his final chapter, Jacob gave divine prophecy. He gave divine prophecy. Now, in this, we see him gathering his children. And he begins with the eldest and works his way down, and he speaks to them. And he's giving them what God has given to him, and he's sharing divine prophecy. Now, in all of this, we see that during this time where this dear man of God is coming to the end of his life, and he gathers all of his children before him. Before I get to these specifics, it's interesting to note how Jacob did not know these things that have and still will come to pass in his flesh. In other words, as he speaks to Reuben, to Simeon, to Levi, to Joseph, he's sharing all these things that's going to happen. And friends, let me tell you this. In his flesh, there's no way he could have known these things. There's no way he could have. He had to be receiving these things from God. And may I say that this means that as this man of God was dying, his heart was so in tune with God that God was still revealing things to him on his deathbed. Friends, that's a blessing right there. I mean, wouldn't it be great? It's a great thought that we can all glean from to make sure that you are living in such close communion with God that God is still speaking to you even when you're drawing your last breath on this earth. What a challenge here this dear man of God gives us. And as we see him giving divine prophecy, we noticed him. Now, I've already preached on it. I strongly encourage you to go back and get it because there's some great thoughts that come out that I've already preached on. He spoke to Reuben in verses 3 and 4. He spoke to Simeon and Levi in verses 5 through 7. He spoke to Judah in verses 8 through 12. He spoke to Zebulun in verse number 13. He spoke to Issachar in verses 14 and 15. He spoke to Dan and Gad in verses 16 through 19. He spoke to Asher in verse 20. And he spoke to Naphtali in verse 21. I've preached up to that point right there. I strongly encourage you to go get it to glean what we got from those verses. Now we pick up today where I left off. And we come to verse number 22 through verse number 26. He's still giving divine prophecy and he speaks to Joseph. Let's see what he says in verse number 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of thy progenitors under the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. Now in these verses, verses 22 to 26, we're still under major point number one, that Jacob in his final chapter, he's giving divine prophecy. We see several thoughts concerning Joseph that we can all learn from. Jacob shares how Joseph is like a fruitful bough by a well whose branches went up and over the wall. He then shares how the archers hated him, grieved him, and shot at him. However, Joseph's bow abode in strength, with his arms being made strong by the mighty God of Jacob. He went on to say how God would continue to help Joseph and bless him with exceeding blessings, even in the midst of the archers shooting at him. In all of this, we see Jacob shares how Joseph is a fruitful bough, and he will be a fruitful bough, who is attacked by those who hate him. Yet during their attack, he is strong in the Lord. He survives the attack and he continues to receive much blessing from God because of his sanctified living. Now, as we consider that thought right there, there are three thoughts of application I want to give you under this. As you consider Jacob talking to his beloved son Joseph that he thought had been killed over 20 years ago, and he's giving divine prophecy, he's sharing what God has shared with him right before he dies, and he says, Joseph, you are a fruitful bough that goes up the wall and over the wall. You are by a well, but there are some people who hate you. They're going to shoot at you. They have shot at you, but God's hands are holding your arms, and because of that, you will continue to be blessed in the midst of the archers unloading their arsenal on you. Now you hear that, how can we glean from that? Number one, under this, get by the well. Get by the well. We see this in verse number 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. See, Joseph was compared to a fruitful bough that was by a well here. This means that Joseph was planted in a place to receive the nutrients that he needed to be vigorous and vibrant and victorious even among persecution. Now, notice here how he's likened to a bough that run up and over the wall. This means that his branches that were only supposed to go so far went up and beyond his home and reached out beyond where he was planted himself. I don't know about you this morning, but I sure want to be a bough who is so fruitful that my branches run up and over and start reaching beyond my own home. See, the only way this will take place is if we are planted by a well, like Joseph was a fruitful bough because he was by a well. And the only way that a bough, a plant, can grow and get bigger and get fruitful and keep being fruitful is if it's receiving the nutrients that it needs. And that's what we see where Joseph is planted here by a well. May I say that just as a plant needs nutrients to grow and needs water to grow, so do all of us. And I'm telling you this morning that we can only find the well that will cause us to be fruitful and cause our branches to go up and over the wall and reach out beyond our home. We can only find that well in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I'm telling you this morning that Jesus said in John chapter 4 verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Friends, if you want to be a fruitful bough, I'm talking about whose branches run up and over just like Joseph, get by the well of communication and communion with God and His precious word, and you will be fruitful in the midst of persecution. I'm telling you this morning that God wants you to be a fruitful bough, but you're only going to be a fruitful bough if you get by the well. John chapter 15 verses 1 to 5. Jesus said, I am the vine and you, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. In other words, he's saying, if you trust in me, if I am your hope, God says, you as a tree, you don't have to worry about a drought, because even when droughts come, you're going to keep flourishing. You're going to keep being fruitful. Your branch is going to run up and over the wall. Why? Because you're planted by the well that has the nutrients to make you everything God wants you to be. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 2 and verse number 13, here is the sad commentary, not just on the nation of Israel at this time, but on many of God's children today. Here's what he says. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, get this, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. May I tell you that when we see Jacob, this dear dying man of God, also known as Israel, he is giving divine prophecy. He speaks to Joseph and he says, you're like a fruitful bough whose branches run up and over the wall. We're applying that by saying this, get by the well. Number two, by the way, these are thoughts. I know I'm packing you a full lunch today, so to speak. Instead of just giving you one major thought, I'm giving you several, but I hope something hits you today and helps you today. Number two, still under Joseph. Get it now. Fruitful boughs have enemies. Fruitful boughs have enemies. We see this in verse number 23. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. See, Jacob shares how the archers had grieved Joseph, how the archers had shot at Joseph, how the archers had even hated Joseph. It's interesting to note how the word archers here, when you look it up, you know what that word carries the idea of? The word archers carries the idea of masters of the bow. Look it up. In other words, these are not amateurs shooting at him. They're masters of the bow. It means they know what they're doing. It means they know how to handle the bow. They know how to shoot the arrow. And they are professionals at it. That's what the word archers mean. One person put it this way: the enemy of our soul is no pushover. We cannot send, now get this, we cannot send our junior varsity against him and win. He is the master of bows. And to defeat him will require our earnest effort. See, the point here is how Joseph was a fruitful bough that some did not like. And a man went on to say, insects do not invade a barren tree, but they invade one that is healthy and bears fruit. Some of these enemies in Joseph's life, no doubt was the devil, no question about it, but also his brothers, they shot at him. They tried to grieve him. They hated him. What about Potiphar's wife? Boy, she was a master of the bow. She was trying to wield her way into his life, and she shot an arrow at him. She didn't like him too much. She hated him eventually. All these kind of things. The devil himself, all these, the prison, all these things were against him, trying to grieve him, hating him, shooting at him. And I'm simply trying to say that what we glean from this is if you're a branch that bears fruit for the glory of God, you have a target on your back, that the enemies of your soul will shoot at you and they'll try to knock you down. My friends, the world, the flesh, and the devil are not pleased when you're pleasing God. Let me say that again. The world, the flesh, and the devil are not pleased when you are pleasing God. And when you are pleasing God, they will unload their arsenal on you. And they will try to destroy your life and wreck your influence. Fruitful boughs have enemies. Psalm 64, 1-4 says this: hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. Friends, it's time you understand that if you go all out for God, and if your branches are running up the wall and starting to reach out over the wall, and you're not only doing your work at home, but you're doing your work abroad, and you're planted by the well, and you're receiving the nutrients that you need, you realize without that well, you're nothing. And you're drawing all those nutrients, and you're being fruitful, and here goes your branches, and it's going up and over the wall. There are those who cannot stand that. They hate that. And they'll do everything you can to take your branch and cut it off if they can. That's what we learn from Joseph. Let me give you a third thing here. You're starting to get what I'm saying. I'm giving you a packed lunch now. Just take what applies to you and take it home. Number three, God's strength and God's help is all we need to continue in adversity. When you are attacked, all you need is the strength of God. We see this in verses 24 and 25. But his bow abode in strength. In other words, while he's being shot at, his bow abode in strength. Notice this. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Even by the God of thy father who shall help thee, and by the Almighty who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and the womb. I don't know if you saw what I just said right there. But in context, he's talking about Joseph, you're like a fruitful bough that your branches run up and over the wall. The archers, the masters of the bows, they don't like it. They're shooting at you. They have shot at you. They hate you. They're trying to grieve you. They're doing all these things. But your bow is still strong because your hands that are connected to your arms. That's what it says. Your hands connected to your arms has the mighty hand of God holding them. And because God's hands are holding your arms, God, in the midst of adversity, is going to keep on pouring it on you, son. He's going to bless you in blessings above. He's going to bless you in the sea below. He's going to give you blessings of the womb, blessings of the breast. He's going to keep on pouring it on because He makes all the difference. That's Joseph. The Bible says that we need God. I cannot destroy my enemies in my flesh. You cannot attack your enemies in your flesh. Well, you can attack them, but you won't be successful. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, here's what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, watching thereunto and with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm telling you that when you are being shot at, and I guarantee you if you're a fruitful bough, somebody's going to shoot at you. Somebody's going to shoot at you. The devil's shooting fiery darts, the book of Ephesians tells us. They're shooting to try to wreck your influence, destroy your life, cut you down. But I'm telling you this morning that God is all you need to keep being blessed even when you're in persecution. Jacob tells his boy, you're like a fruitful bough whose branches run up and over the wall. The master of archers don't like it. They want to grieve you. They have grieved you. They hate you and they still hate you. They've hated and still do it. They don't like you very much, Joseph. And they're going to shoot at you all the time. But, see, he's giving prophecy. But your bow is going to abide in strength. Your bow is not going to break. Glory, that's blessing my heart right there. It's not going to break you, boy, because the mighty hands of God are holding your arms. And because God's hands are holding your arms, He'll quench all those fiery darts. And He's going to keep on blessing you. He's going to keep on pouring it on above, beneath, and from every side. He's just going to keep pouring it on. You know what I'm talking to today? I'm talking to some people who have a dart stuck in your side. I'm talking to some people that you've been hit, you've been wounded. The masters of the bows have shot at you and hit. You've got one stuck in your thigh and it hurts. And you're like, good night, how can I go on like this? Glory, that hurts. God comes to you and says, He that is with me, He will make it through. And I will help you through this. Stop trying to fight it yourself. Stop trying. Just stay planted by the well. Keep drawing strength from me. And my hands will hold you up under this. And I'll keep blessing you. And blessing you. And blessing you. And blessing you. The little chorus goes, I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I'm telling you, I don't care how many archers are shooting at you. If God's big hands are holding you up, you're going to be just fine. That's Joseph. Then he speaks to Benjamin, verse number 27. Just going to mention this and go on. Benjamin shall, I guess it's raven or rave, whatever that is, as a wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. Jacob shares how Benjamin would tear in pieces things like a wolf, devouring his prey in the morning and dividing his spoil at night. Now some teach that this was a prophecy concerning the fierceness and warlike attitude of this tribe. And yes, they were fierce and warlike, but there's a great thought that comes out here. Because remember, it's not just facts, it's application. What can we get about somebody being like a wolf that tears his meat during the morning and he has something to divide at night? A simple thought that comes out here is this: use your time wisely. Use it wisely. In other words, just as a wolf uses the morning wisely to catch what now he can divide at night, even so, we should use our mornings for God to have victory at night. Let me tell you why a lot of people come to the end of their day and they are suffering defeat: because they didn't use their day wisely. I'm saying use the day you have wisely so that you have spoils of victory at night. You know what we need? We need Christians who sit down at night and they're just dividing the spoils of the victory that God gave them throughout the day. You know how you get it? Use your mornings well. Use the daylight where you can see things better. Make sure you're not wasting time. Give it to God. This is it. One person put it this way: if you come to the evening of the day or of your life with empty hands, it will be because you did not use the morning of your day or life well. It's a simple lesson, but many ignore it. They want wages at the end of the week without work during the week. Such folk will be very disappointed at the end of their week and at the end of their life. This is Benjamin. Number one, Jacob, in his final chapter of life, he gave divine prophecy. Number two, he guided his children through his death. We see this in verses 29 and following. Notice what he did. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. There I buried Leah. Perch of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. Now in those verses it might be, that's just kind of, I don't even know what that means really. What's he doing? Here's what he's doing. He knows he's dying, so he's guiding his children through it. What I'm saying to you is that he's telling his children what to do when he dies. Jacob did not ignore the fact that his death was imminent. It's coming. He knew he was dying. He accepted it. And he helped prepare his children for it. He told his sons where to bury him: in the cave in the field of Machpelah in the land of Canaan. In other words, get this. He said, boys, don't bury me in Egypt. Bury me back in the land of God's promises. This is what he's saying. What he's doing here is he's showing great faith to his children. See, the Israelites had been blessed since Jacob was down there in Egypt. But God's promises were not connected to Egypt. God's long-term promises were connected to Canaan. So Jacob is bringing his children to him, and he's guiding them through his death. He's saying, when I die, don't bury me here. Bury me in the same cave where I buried Leah. Now, when you think about that simple thought, there are two things I want to give you here. I'm still just putting stuff in your lunch bag, okay? Two things I'm giving you here. Number one, determine to leave this world showing great faith in God and His promises. If the Lord would give you the opportunity, now He may not do this, but if the Lord would give you the opportunity for you to gather your children around you before you leave this world. Now, sometimes people die suddenly. Sometimes it just happens. But every now and then, God allows somebody to know, I'm dying. I'm dying. It's just a matter of time. If God gives you that opportunity, if you have children, I encourage you, gather them around you and talk about God and His promises. By the way, even if you don't have that, by the way, we need to be doing that every day of our life, friends. I need to be sharing this with my children every day of my life. Why? Because today could be my last day on earth. I hope not. I'm not planning on it. But none of us are promised tomorrow, so really we ought to be doing this every day of our life. You understand this? In other words, the last thing these boys heard from their daddy was, bury me in the land of God's promises. What a way to leave this world, friends. I'm telling you, we learned this. Secondly, and I know this is a little unusual, but let me say this to you. There's nothing wrong with sharing your final wishes with your family before you leave this earth. There's nothing wrong with it. Now, while we look for spiritual application, we notice that this dear man of God left word with where to bury his earthly remains. You know what that tells me here? Let us realize that there's nothing wrong with making necessary preparation for one's death. Nothing wrong with it. Let me say this to you. When an individual makes his will out ahead of time, now, you probably didn't think he was coming to church and hear about making a will. I know. But let me say this to you. When an individual makes his will out ahead of time, it can keep a lot of hassle out of your family when you're gone. It can now. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, this is not Bible doctrine, okay? This is just a preference. I encourage, if you don't have a will, get one. Have you thought you're going to hear that when you come to church this morning? Nobody, right? Isn't it amazing how practical the Bible is, friends? I mean, Jacob saying, hey, I don't want anybody arguing when I'm gone. That's not in the King James. This is in the Jenkins version here. But hey, I don't want anybody arguing when I'm gone. Don't bury me over there or over there. Put me in the cave where I buried Leah. That's my final wishes. Nothing wrong with telling people that. We learned that here. Then number three. Number one, he gave divine prophecy. Number two, he guided his children through his death. Number three, he gathered unto his people. He gathered unto his people. We see this in the last verse, verse number 33. When Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Once Jacob had ended his final words to his children, the Bible says he gathered up his feet into the bed and he died. The Bible says he was gathered unto his people. Now, as we consider his death here, there's two final things I'm going to give you and we'll be done, okay? Two final things here. Application. What can we learn here? Number one, everybody is appointed to death. Everybody is appointed to death. Jacob was a man who had God's promises. Jacob was a man who had God's blessings upon him. However, this did not stop death from knocking on his door. There came the time when he left this world. Get this, his final act was commanding his sons and guiding them through his death. And the phrase yielded up the ghost means he expired or breathed out his last breath. You know, it was a powerful thought here. One person put it this way, this description of death where he breathes out his last corresponds to the description of man's creation, which says that God breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life. Now get this, when God created Adam, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. But because man chose to sin against God, now the breath of life will one day be breathed out. That's death. And if you're a sinner today, which you are, don't let that offend you because so am I. We're all sinners. There's coming a day when you're going to die. It's not lovely thoughts. It's not something you want to think about. I don't want to think about it. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says, as it is appointed unto men once to die. The point here is death is approaching every one of us. We were appointed to death. We too will one day have a final act. And then death will come knocking if the Lord tarries his coming. I want to ask you this question. Are you ready to die? Are you prepared to leave this world? Again, the same verse, Hebrews 9:27, as the point of the man who wants to die, but after this, the judgment. So we learn from this, he's gathered unto his people that everybody's going to die, barring the Lord coming back first. Secondly, and what a fitting way to end chapter 49. Here it is. You can finish right. You can finish right. You really can. As we traveled through this book, I want you to think about Israel, Jacob, Israel, same person. We saw this man, Jacob, live a life of ups and downs. Early on in his life, he was full of bad works, especially with his own family. Among the bad things he did was he lied and deceived his own father. He certainly wasn't all he should have been throughout his life. He tripped up along the way. He made a lot of sinful decisions. And he lived a life of a deceiver. However, as he got older and he learned more about his wonderful God, we see him showing great faith in God, even up until he took his last breath on earth. His dying command to bury him in the land of Canaan was showing great faith in God. The point is here, is even though he wasn't all he should have been, this man finished right. He really did. He left this world believing God. Now I may be speaking to someone here who has made some serious mistakes in your life. I'm here to tell you that while there are consequences to choices, we serve a God who can pick up the broken pieces and make it into a beautiful vessel. If you have made mistakes, get up and determine to finish right in the eyes of God. Or I may be speaking to somebody here that you're doing great when it comes to your Christian walk. I mean, as far as you know, your heart's right. You're not perfect, but you're trying to be. I want to come along behind you and encourage you. Keep going and make sure you cross the finish line full speed ahead. Let us all determine to cross the finish line running full speed ahead. Remember that most will remember how you finish. They may not remember how you begin, and they may not remember what you did in the middle, but most people will remember how you leave this world. And may we all leave it right. I'm talking about right with God, right with our family, going full speed ahead. 2 Timothy 4:6-7. The Apostle Paul said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Philippians 3:14, the Apostle Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In other words, he's saying, if God is that microphone stand, he said, "I'm pressing toward it. I'm not shying away from it. I'm not over here sipping on Gatorade. I'm not over here trying to stretch my hamstrings out. No, I am striving for it until I finally get it." Let us finish that way. Finish full speed ahead. In our text, we've considered Jacob's final chapter. Here we saw a man of God gather his children around him, pour out his heart to them. Finally, he got up into the bed and gave up the ghost. He died. God help us all to see that our book also has a final chapter. We could be in that chapter today. Make sure your book ends for the glory of God. And may our last chapter close one of these days with a big smile on God's face. Preacher, you may not remember this, and I'm closing. You said when the Lord calls you home, if he doesn't come first, which I hope he comes first, But you made this statement, and I've not forgotten it. My mind's not great. It's really not. But some things I remember. And one thing you said is that if God takes you home, that what you'd like somebody to get up and say is that he had the smile of God on his life. You know what that means? That means there's a man who wants to finish right. I don't care what you've done, I don't care who you are, you can finish right. You really can. But you must allow God to help you do that. Jacob's final chapter. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for this day. Help us to understand the importance of this, to see our great need of you. Challenge our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Let me ask you some questions by means of invitation this morning. Question number one, are you 100% sure that heaven is your home? Do you know without a doubt that you have trusted Christ? Has there been a time when you realized that you were a sinner? You do not deserve heaven. But you believe that Jesus died in your place. And by faith have you asked the Lord to come into your heart, forgive your sin, take you to heaven when you die. Have you repented of your sin? I don't want my sin. Have you received Jesus? Christ in Christ alone. Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? If I die just like I am, I don't have the assurance in my heart that heaven's my home. I'd like to go to heaven. I want to go, but if it takes trusting Christ and Christ alone, I'm not sure if I've ever done that before. You say, Jody, would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. If you say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm really saved. And I realize I don't want to take for granted. I don't want to play a game here. You say, pray for me. Is there anybody like that? I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? God bless you, folks. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else. If you raise your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. It's just me looking. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise you. But if you raise your hand, I want you to look right up here at me just a moment. Would you do that? If you just sit back and look right up here at me, please. I don't know you. I don't know your heart, but I know this. There was a day when I would have to respond to the same question. See, I know now that I'm going to heaven, but there was a day I didn't. In other words, I wasn't born a Christian. I had to do what I'm getting ready to ask you to do. You see what I'm saying? And I'm so glad I have. Let me explain to you what we're going to do. In just a moment, we're going to have what's called an invitation. What this is a time that gives you the opportunity to come. And I would encourage you to come together. And we'll take a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we're going to share with you how you can know for sure that heaven's your home. We're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to try to force you to do this. This is between you and the Lord. But in your heart, you know what you need to do, right? You know you need to do this. I promise you something. If you do this, you'll never regret you did. You'll only regret if you don't. Because you're among friends here. We love you. We want to see you saved. We want you to come. Please. Please. In just a moment, we're going to stand, and it'll be obvious because I'll come down. I'll meet you. And we'll take a man with a man, lady with a lady. We'll help you. Okay? Please. Please. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help these precious people to come. Help them to come. May your will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As Brother Gary sings, now's your time. As he begins to sing, you leave your place now. Those folks beside you, they would be honored. They'd be honored to step out of your way. Come now. Would you do that? Just come now.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Savior divine.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a bow. And I feel like I've got some fruit in my life. But I'm going to be honest with you. I know the masters of the bow have been shooting at me lately. Have you say, Jody, I've got arrows flying over my head. I mean, I can identify with that. Have me be honest. Put your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? Oh, look at that. That's a lot of you. That's a lot of you. You got your hand raised. I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? That's a lot of you. A lot of you. What's the message for you? Stay by the well. Stay by the well. Keep drawing the nutrients that you need. And in the midst of these masters of bows that are rearing back to try to knock your bow down to size, you stay by the well. The mighty hands of God hold your arms. And God can keep pouring it on in spite of all the persecution, in spite of all the affliction, whatever it is. See, God's hands make all the difference. And if you're by the well, you're by the hands. And He's holding you up. Have you say, Jody, I want to finish right. Now, I know everybody could raise their hand to this, but you say, God really has His hand on this in my life. I realize every hand could go up, but if you say, God is really speaking to me about finishing right, I want to finish right. God is really speaking to me about that. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, well, I want to finish right. God bless you. I'm going to pray, and as soon as I get done, Brother Gary's going to sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. But this is your time. Why don't you come? Why don't you say, God, help me finish right. Or maybe some of you fruitful boughs come and say, hey, God, help me hold that shield of faith to quench all those fiery darts. May the blessing of God keep pouring out on my life in the midst of these arrows flying at me. However God's dealing with you, may the Lord help you. Father, help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Leave your place. Come now as he sings. Come
have
now.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in
thee.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make
feel any pressure. We're going to pray together. And we're going to stay with them as long as we need to stay with them. And as we dismiss today, I want you to be very, very quiet, if you wouldn't mind to do that. Be very sensitive as we're dealing with folks' eternal destiny right here. Isn't it good to see people responding to the gospel, friends? There's a couple that's responded. We want to give them respect here. What I want to do is I want to ask our dear preacher. I know I'm the pastor, but I'm not the preacher around here. There's only one preacher. Dear man of God who set the course. God bless you, sir. I want you to pray and ask God's blessing upon these precious people here.
Thank you.